8:04 in the morning. Hey, it is that time again, a Saturday morning, and once again from Nature's Green Nursery, it's Down to Earth with your host, Steve Stone.
Hey, thanks everybody for tuning in. If you have any questions, please give us a call here at the station at 419-586-5133. Love to hear from you. Love to hear answer any questions you might have. Lots to get to today, as usual. We have obviously been talking the last number of weeks, or better part of the late season here, about the lack of rainfall that we've had and the deficit that we have in rainfall. And I had mentioned last week that with the, depending on where you were at, we had anywhere between 2 to 3 inches of rain, the last of, rain event that we had. But since then, we haven't had a drop. And so I had mentioned that the lawns were recovering and looking dramatically better, which obviously is a good thing. But we're certainly still in a significant deficit as far as the rainfall goes. And so just because the lawns have perked up and are looking much greener and happier at this point, it doesn't take away from the fact that we certainly are well behind normal as far as precipitation rates for this season. And so watering is still going to be incredibly critical to keeping the your lawns and landscapes healthy, specifically your landscaping. Trees, shrubs, again, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but trees and shrubs, even ones that have been in for quite a number of years, are still going to be incredibly thirsty right now. Again, if you're out and about and you're in your lawn and landscape at all, you're going to notice that the ground has dried up very rapidly, and so there's very little soil moisture there at this point. And so what's a saving grace right now are temperatures. Temperatures going forward, today is going to be very nice and mild. Going forward, if you're looking at the forecast, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we're talking highs in the 50s and lows hovering in the mid-30s. So certainly going to be a chance of some frost this week. We'll get to that in a minute. But it when you have the cooler temperatures like this, I mean, myself included, you don't necessarily notice things drying out as rapidly and plants showing stress because of the cooler temperatures and cool nights. But again, I can't emphasize enough that watering is going to be hugely critical for fall, all through the fall. There's really no significant chance of rainfall in our forecast at this point until next Sunday. There's a 35% chance. But other than that, this week, there's pretty much zero chance. For the most part, I think there's a slight chance this evening, but overall, very little possibility of rainfall. And so watering, again, is going to be critical. Don't put those hoses away and sprinklers away. Please keep using them all through the month of October, because, again, it can make the difference, especially with some trees and shrubs. It can really make a difference between them thriving and easily making it through the winter and the potential of them declining and potentially not making it at all or dying through the wintertime. Because, again, evergreens just don't have the flexibility of they just don't tolerate dry conditions as well as deciduous plants. Deciduous plants can, you know, drop their leaves and go into dormancy early, and they're going to be perfectly happy and probably with normal winter precipitation, they're going to come out in the spring and be nearly unscathed. But evergreens just simply are not that built that way, that they need moisture to get through the wintertime. Otherwise, they just simply don't have the bandwidth to survive a months and months and months and months of deficit, moisture deficit, and they're going to start to turn brown, defoliate, and again, potentially lose them. So there's a lot of things to look at right now. There are evergreens that are showing drought stress that are dropping needles. Also, if you have, you know, some pines and spruces, specifically white pines are very easy to notice. They do go through a cycle of normal fall defoliation. So if you're seeing some yellowing needles on the inner part of the pine tree, and defoliation, that is probably a normal shed. They will shed this time of year, late season, normally. Now this year could be a little bit worse because, again, of the lack of rainfall. You'll notice that also on spruce trees. Spruce trees, typically the needles are going to be a little bit more of an orange color, and you'll notice it again on the inner part. The older needles, the inner needles of the plant, are the ones that are going to show discoloration, and then defoliation, the needles are going to fall. And that, again, might be a little bit worse this year than in past seasons, but it is cyclical, that some seasons you may notice it dramatically and some seasons you may not notice it at all. This year doesn't seem to be outstanding as far as defoliation goes. I did notice I've got four white pines on the north side of my house, and I did notice those were shedding a few needles that were turning yellow. And I've been diligent about watering those, so I know it's not lack of moisture that's causing that. It's just normal fall defoliation. So, again, a lot to think about. A lot of trees, getting a lot of questions about trees that are showing really lousy color, foliage, and defoliation. Looked at some flowering crab apples that were nearly defoliated at a client's house this week. And again, between the drought stress, and they were older varieties of flowering crab apples, so they had apple scab really bad. And so between the lack of rainfall and apple scab, it wasn't unheard of, uncommon, or unusual to see those trees nearly defoliated at this point. Again, the only thing I would recommend, or that I recommended, was just simply watering them. And it might sound odd to water a tree that is nearly completely defoliated, but again, when the soil temperatures are as warm as they are right now, the roots are still incredibly active in the soil. And so watering is, the tree's not dormant. The tree is, the roots are still very actively growing and picking up moisture and or what they can. And so watering is going to be very, very, very important to keep those things healthy, you know, going through the winter time. And we'll take a quick break and we'll be back.
Hi, I'm Adriana from Wayne IGA. Did you know we're well known for our meat and deli departments? We cater for all occasions like weddings, graduations, and more. We're locally owned and offer lots of local grown and homemade foods. We are open Monday through Friday, 8 to 8, and Saturday, 8 to 6. Come meet our happy staff and see all what we have in store for you at Wayne IGA in Fort Recovery.
You trust so much to your banker. So isn't it strange that most of the communication you have with them is in form letters and computer statements? At the St. Henry Bank, we have a revolutionary tool that promotes even stronger friendships. It's called a conversation. Stop by and speak with any of us. You'll appreciate the difference.
When it comes to banks, there's large, and then there's large enough. The St. Henry Bank in St. Henry and Maria Stein. Large enough to serve you, small enough to know you. Member FDIC.
Hey, we're back here on 96.7 The Wave.
Nature's Green Nursery. Steve
Fell is here with us this morning. And Steve, time for our second segment.
Again, thanks very much for tuning in. If you have any questions, call us here, 419-586-5133. Before the break, talking about landscaping and how your plants have struggled or survived through this dry spell, I wanted to shift gears and talk about the lawn and lawns and how they've managed to make it through this dry spell. If you are, again, you know, mowing and out and about in your lawn and landscape, if you're noticing, still noticing like complete bare spots, brown spots, or spots that just simply aren't green at all at this point, don't sit around and wait for those to come back. If they haven't greened up at this point, in the season, after the rain that we've had, they're probably not going to green up. And so at that point, you can start thinking about, or actually you really need to be thinking about it quickly, overseeding and reseeding those areas. If it's a lot of small areas, it's kind of the size of your fist or the size of a softball throughout the lawn that is brown. Those areas that are that small, I would suggest doing a fertilizer application. You always want to do a soil test to make sure what exactly nutrients are missing or is in abundance in your soil. But overall, you need to fertilize that turf lawn area. And the lawn actually will do a pretty good job of healing itself if you give it some nutrients. Obviously, rain makes a big difference. And like we had talked in the first segment, we've struggled this season with getting consistent rainfall. But fertilizing is going to help those areas heal very rapidly. Seeding a whole bunch of little tiny spots is tedious, difficult, and like I had mentioned, probably not necessary. Now, if you have some really big areas that are brown, those are certainly going to need to be overseeded or reseeded. And you just can't, unfortunately, just kind of arbitrarily just walk out there and throw a couple hands full of seed down and expect to have good results. You really need to, that thatchy dead area, you really need to kind of break that thatch up or that dead tissue up and kind of work that ground slightly to get good seed soil contact so you will get good germination. And the way you would do that would be simply hand rake it, a light tilling. Thatching is a really good idea. I actually went through and thatched my whole yard last week because, again, the lawn was recovering pretty well from the lack of rain that we've had. But again, a lot of dead tissue in the lawn, so I went through and ran a thatcher through it and then picked up all the clumps and debris that was worked up, all the dead tissue that was pulled loose. You know, thatching an area that's thin and then putting your seed down, aerating, which again, I had mentioned the last couple weeks and we're back to that again. Aeration is a great process to do to your lawn in the fall. Unfortunately, again, we're back to, you know, some really dry lawns. And so hollow-tine core aerating is not going to reap the results that I or you would hope because the ground's dry. And so you're not going to be able to pull a deep core out of the ground at this point because it is so dry. Aeration would certainly be better done after maybe an inch or inch and a half of rain. So you've got some moisture so you can pull a core out. But aerating those areas, thatching, you know, scuffing, raking that area up again to get, and then apply your seed to get good seed soil contact is going to give you the results that you're looking for. If you just go out and again and just kind of sprinkle seed or throw some seed down in bare spots, it's not going to germinate. It's certainly not going to germinate very well because it's not raining. If you water the heck out of it, you might get pretty good germination. But the problem is if there's a lot of dead grass and tissue in that area, you don't have the seed can't absorb the moisture that it needs to germinate and grow. So you're going to struggle with the germination percentage and probably be disappointed with the results. So it does take a little bit of elbow grease, so to speak, to get those areas ready for seed. But fall fertilization for your turf, hugely important. Any time of the year, specifically right now, very, very, very important because the stress that the lawns have been through this summer with the lack of rainfall. Fall's always one of the, if probably the best time to fertilize your lawn. Promotes density, keeps the grass happy, healthy, well fed, so it's going to go into winter happy. And so in the springtime, you're going to see early green up and again, good density. Still not still plenty of time to do your broadleaf applications if you haven't done those yet. For broadleaf weeds, you can do that. This is a good time of year to do that. There is, again, a potential of some frost in the forecast this next week. I think Tuesday night or Wednesday night, they're talking about lows in the mid to, I think, 33 was what my weather app showed. So we're going to be looking at potential frost, but that doesn't matter. You're still going to get good control with your weed control. And you're also, again, you've got plenty of time to get that fertilizer down. It's early enough in the season that you could do in the fall that you could do an application right away if you did one like this weekend. And then, you know, maybe mid to late November or even early December if the ground's not frozen and we still have, you know, some daytime temps that are up in the 40s, you can do another application. Fall fertilization is going to pay huge dividends for you as far as turf quality. We need to get to another break and we'll be back.
Has it been your family's dream to have a swimming pool in your backyard?
Easy Life Pools has teamed up with Nature's Green Nursery to create the backyard of your dreams. They can install an in-ground pool with a liner, a fiberglass insert, or simply an above-ground pool. Easy Life Pools now shares a location with Nature's Green Nursery in Fort Recovery, your area's finest for landscaping, hardscaping, and now swimming pools. Reach us both at 419-375-2322. 419-375-2322.
Rev up your lawn care game with incredible deals at Hull Brothers in Fort Recovery. Whether you're tackling a jungle of grass or just need an upgrade, we've got you covered. From Toro, Grasshopper, Cub Cadet, and Kubota, we have a wide selection of new and used mowers for sale. And with our unbeatable prices, there's never been a better time to buy. Don't miss out. Head to Hull Brothers today and mow your worries away. Hull Brothers, where quality meets affordability.
Has it been your family's dream to have a swimming pool in your backyard? Easy Life Pools has teamed up with Nature's Green Nursery to create the backyard of your dreams. They can install an in-ground pool with a liner, a fiberglass insert, or simply an above-ground pool. Easy Life Pools now shares a location with Nature's Green Nursery in Fort Recovery, your area's finest for landscaping, hardscaping, and now swimming pools. Reach us both at 419-375-2322. 419-375-2322. Years ago, Jeff and Mark Bruns wanted to create the area's most respected lumber company.
Nailed it.
When the community and local sports teams needed support, Shockman Lumber was there.
Nailed it.
When the demand grew, Shockman Lumber grew.
Nailed it and boarded it.
They helped design and provide materials for homes, businesses, condos, storage sheds, dairy barns, and even Santa's house.
Nailed it, nailed it, nailed it, nailed it, and ho, ho, ho.
Shockman Lumber on West Columbus and St. Henry would like to thank you.
Nailed it.
I think they get it.
Hey, we're back with Steve Stone from Nature's Green Nursery and Down to Earth. Steve, we got a phone call that came in. A gentleman was asking about reseeding and saying if, wanting to know if waiting until there's snow on the ground is a thing.
It certainly is a thing. It's what would be considered like a dormant seeding. And it, I know people that have had good success doing it. I mean, weather obviously plays a big part of that as far as your success goes. That would be, you know, something that, you know, I guess it's kind of an old wives' tale or thing you might read in the Farmer's Almanac, that if you go out like the last snow of the season, it would be something that you could apply, you know, maybe in February, early March, that if there is snow on the ground, you can sprinkle seed across the snow. And as the snow melts and the seed will, you know, work its way down into the turf or lawn area. And again, I have heard of stories where that works perfectly fine. And again, you're going to get some germination that way. The problem that I see with, you know, dormant seeding like that is the seed that you buy, if you buy a good quality turf seed, can be quite expensive. It can be a couple, two to as much as maybe $4 a pound for a very high quality seed. And while that will germinate, your germination percentage is going to be a lot less than if you did it at a good time. And so, again, you should, with a good quality turf grass seed, you probably should be looking at 80 to 90% germination percentage. You might be looking at something like that 20, 30, 40, maybe 50% germination rate. And so, again, with the price of seed, you know, I wouldn't want to gamble on, you know, that I wouldn't want to gamble on that. I'd want to put it down when I know I'm going to get good germination. This, again, is the perfect time of year. It's getting late. I mean, I usually recommend having your seed. You want to have all your seeding done by the end of September, first week of October. Looking at the forecast, you know, the forecast looks really good. As far as temperatures go, there's a few nights, like I had mentioned this week, that are going to be a little frosty. But other than that, temperatures look perfect for growing grass. And so getting the seed down, watering, it's not uncommon if you hit it right in September that you could seed something. You get, if you were lucky enough, if you did some seeding and then get that 3 inches of rain on it that we got from the remnants of that hurricane, you could get germination in full coverage in, I don't know, 15 to maybe 20 days. It's going to come up and fill in very quickly in the fall because, again, soil temperatures are very warm. If you get the right precipitation rate, you're going to get germination and you're going to get a dense lawn in a big hurry. And that's, you know, why fall is the best time, is basically, you know, the soil temperatures are really warm. When you're dealing with, like, again, a dormant type seeding, like we talked about with a sprinkling on the snow, I don't care how much seed you put down or when you put it down, that seed is not going to germinate until that soil temperature reaches about 56 to 58 degrees. It just simply is not going to happen until we get that soil temperature. So again, losing seed in that time frame, whether birds might pick it up and eat it, or whether you're just not getting good seed soil contact, so the seed isn't imbibing water, so it's going to germinate, it just gives you some issues. But certainly, you know, again, it will work. You know, again, I think there's better ways of doing it, but yes, it will work. So thanks for that question being called in. Got a number of things to get to before the last 5 minutes here. Had a lot of people asking about, actually this week had a lot of people asking about cutting back roses and hydrangeas. And I always do mine, both of those. I always do those in the spring. Now, if you have success and you've had success doing it in the fall, I'm not going to tell you not to. But from my experience, I just do those two particular plants in the spring. With a mild winter, you're going to get very minimal dieback. And so in the springtime, it's very easy on hydrangeas and roses. Very easy to see the tissue that's dead and the tissue that's alive. In both plants, the tissue that has died is going to be very dark chocolate brown in color, and the tissues, stems, branches, whatever you want to call them, that are alive are going to be very, very bright green. And so you can make your pruning cuts and cut back specifically what's dead and what's alive. And if you have a mild winter, there may be very little to prune back. If you have a severe winter, then you can take back what has died back. In the fall, you're just kind of guessing. And so cutting, I always wait till springtime to make those cuts and kind of reshape those plants accordingly. Again, still plenty of time to get those spring flowering bulbs planted. Right now is the time to get those tulips and daffodils, crocuses, all those different beautiful early spring flowering bulbs. Right now is the time to get those things planted in the ground, and so you can appreciate and enjoy all the color that they're going to bring this coming season in March, April, and May. Again, if you've got lots of containers like I have around your house and patio, be careful with the temperatures coming this direction with some really frosty nights. A 33 degree night isn't going to hurt a lot of things plant-wise. But again, if you have some expensive ceramic or clay type containers, before we get those really cold nights that are in the 20s, you might want to consider, right? You definitely want to consider cleaning those pots out, because if you're diligent about watering and your soil has a lot of moisture in it, and we have that really cold night and that root zone freezes, you're going to start breaking, cracking, and those expensive containers could be ruined very, very easily with a very cold night. So be careful to remember and kind of look at the forecast. And again, if we do have some nights and the plants are starting to look lousy anyhow, you might want to consider cleaning those out. Now, plastic and resin type containers are obviously going to be a lot easier to deal with, because they're not going to break or crack. Just about out of time. I wanted to just tell all my sponsors, thank you very much. Shockman's, IGA, St. Henry Bank, Hall Brothers, appreciate you very much supporting the show. And I know all those businesses very well, and they're all great people. So thanks very much for that. Thanks very much for tuning in. We'll talk to you next Saturday.